Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I want to be sincere. Is it because they want to get rid of us? They are not going to do that. I will explain to you. The cost would be huge.
That's Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras speaking live on state television Monday evening about the last chance for a deal to keep Greece in the euro system. But Greece, the pearl of the Aegean Sea, is officially financially underwater. It owes more than 170% of its GDP. Greece owes one of its creditors, the International Monetary Fund, a repayment of $1.7 billion today, a payment that the country says it can't make. Will Greece go bankrupt, leave the European Union, or come to an agreement with its lenders in the upcoming July 5th referendum? We've been asking different forms of this question for months. Daniel Altman is senior editor of Foreign Policy Magazine and professor at New York University's Stern School of Business. He's also a former economic advisor to the British government. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Is this a different question today? Does the referendum really change the whole picture?
Well, it's interesting. The prime minister actually said that the referendum was for him part of the negotiating process rather than something to change the picture or be definitive. So he sees it as just one more phase and was likely to be a very drawn-out process even now. Whether or not Greece defaults, whether or not Greece leaves the euro, there will be claims disputed with their creditors for years to come.
And while some can say this is democracy in action in the land where democracy was invented, it could also be said that this is a failure of leadership. I mean, Tsipras is basically telling the folks in Greece who've been suffering for 2 years to hang themselves.
I think the problem for him is that he can say to the people that he's been trying time after time to get a better deal, and the European Union, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund really haven't budged that much in the last few months on what they're prepared to offer. So it's a frustrating situation because it seems like he's been a failure, and he seems like he's using his last resort by calling this referendum. That, you know, if he's not able to make progress, then he'll let the people make the final decision. So he looks ineffectual, but it's not clear that he could have gotten that much more out of his creditors and the others.
The Greek people won't have the option of wording the resolution in the referendum on July 5th. But is there any message that could come out of this referendum that would say to the big players in the eurozone, come on, give us a break here. We need to do some debt relief to realistically solve this problem.
The problem for me really is that so much may change in the next week before we even see the referendum, or the next several days, I should say, that the question may turn out to be irrelevant. I mean, we may see some movement on either side that would mean a different deal is actually being the one proposed rather than the one that should be the question in the referendum. We may see a complete collapse in terms of these negotiations, and that could lead to the beginning of an exit from the euro. It could lead to defaults of various kinds that would make parts of that deal potentially irrelevant or untenable. And so it's very hard to know right now what the situation will be and how relevant the question will be.
Let's just stipulate for the moment that the Greeks have behaved badly and that there has been problems with the lack of austerity in its budgets. Is it also the case that the Germans and the French have used the IMF to maintain this pretense that there isn't a two-tiered system in the euro, at least a two-tiered system?
Well, this goes back to some of the fundamental problems with the euro. The euro was set up as a common currency for all these countries that had very disparate economic cycles. And you can't make monetary policy if some countries are booming while other countries are in recession. You don't know whether rates should be high or low. And Greece was sort of shunted into the euro quite early in its period of life, so at 2 years after the official launch, more or less, in a way that ignored many of the fundamental problems with Greece's fiscal situation. In fact, Greece sort of fudged the numbers and people kind of looked the other way, allowing Greece to come in more as a political imperative than as an economic one. So this two-tiered system has always existed because there have been countries like Greece that have been unsuited to this currency union who have been in there for quite a while now, and it was almost inevitable that one of them would enter this kind of crisis.
Before we go, is there any way to think of the Eurozone leadership as a stimulus economic planning function where they would actually try to encourage the Greek economy to grow as opposed to punishing it moralistically about bad behavior of the past?
Well, that would be a complete about-face, and yet that might be one of the only things that could really resolve this situation. If they started to realize that Greece has long-term problems with things like corruption and tax collections that need long-term solutions, that need cultural solutions as well as economic solutions, and short-term deals to try and make them tighten their belts enough to start chipping away at their debt, are not going to solve those problems.
Well, we'll certainly be talking about this again. Daniel Altman is senior editor of Foreign Policy Magazine and professor at New York University's Stern School of Business. He's also a former economic advisor to the British government. Daniel, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.